But instead of eyes is coming away, four lengths in front. And instead of eyes, what a star, won the Caulfield Cup from Nonconformist Dead Heat.
Well, that still makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. What an incredible performance. Some great scenes post-race with Peter Moody and Brett Prebble. So genuinely excited. And Peter Moody joins us this morning. Congratulations, Pete.
Morning, Warren.
How are you feeling this morning?
Yeah, a bit tired, actually. I ran the race a few times last night. I didn't have a real big night, but I ran the race a few times in the head while I was trying to sleep. So it was a nice feeling.
Well, we're not even involved in the story as racing fans and reporters on racing, and it's been in my mind vividly throughout the night also. He went round as a favourite. He was heavily backed in the last half hour of betting, but he's absolutely dominated that field. How did that performance meet even the most optimistic of expectations?
I was very, very confident going into the race. The probably thing that scared me and probably a lot of people was the weather leading into it, because we didn't know about heavy track ground. But I took great heart yesterday morning. I rang Jason Kerr before scratching time, because there was some contemplation of whether we approached stewards to withdraw the horse and run him in the Cox Plate if the track was going to be genuinely heavy and if there was the possibility of rain. But when I had a good chat with Jason and he went through the forecast and he had all his toys there to tell me that he thought this had gone round us, that had gone round us, and there was nothing coming through the heads. And then I went back to the owners and we decided that we'd roll the dice. The horse gave himself every chance to perform. He had a sort of faultless, excuseless preparation. He hasn't missed a beat and he went into it really, really well. So he just had to be good enough, and I think his form prior to the race showed us that he was going to be good enough if things went his way.
First start for you beyond 2,000 metres. What did you learn about him yesterday?
Well, the reason we sort of targeted that race, and I've got to give Bray Sokolsky a big rap when he first spoke to me in June or whatever. He said, "I've got the Caulfield Cup winner. I want you to train it. All you've got to do is try and get the deal done." So we did target that. We knew he was going to run a strong mile and a half, and then his next two runs when he won at Ipswich and then that Tats Cup sort of demolition job at Eagle Farm really sort of franked that opinion that Bray had formed. We knew the Caulfield Cup was the race. We didn't sort of anticipate winning weight for age races on the way to it. We didn't contemplate that he was a Cox Plate horse, and we sort of lived the dream, as every Aussie does, that maybe he could be a Melbourne Cup horse. But the race that we knew he could win was the Caulfield Cup, and we aimed at that, and thankfully it's come together.
You've talked before about how he recovers and probably as good as any horse you've seen in terms of his aerobic capacity. How did he pull up after yesterday?
He recovered unbelievably quick. I've got to be honest, I was caught up in the presentation, but Catherine, who tends to him and cares for him, she was really amazed once again of how he recovered straight after the race. Her and Will were with him, and he was good. But I've got to say, this morning, it's the first one of the three runs that he has felt, you know? He left a little bit of grub last night, and he's got his head and the feet in now. But he knows he's been to the races, you know? He put a fair effort into it, and it's the first time he's felt a run since he's been here. So, you know, the next week will be interesting to see how he bounces back. This is another thing I've got to learn about him, and he's got to go to Werribee in the morning to have his scans, as all Melbourne Cup horses do, and then we might give him 3 or 4 days at the beach. I would think the way he has pulled up, and I'm talking out of school here because I haven't spoken connections, it would probably totally rule out any chance of him backing up in the Cox Plate. So my thoughts now would be towards a Melbourne Cup if he bounces back. If he doesn't, he's done the job that we've asked him to do.
Some great emotion post-race yesterday, Pete, and we've seen your personality shine through, and there's a real Aussie larrikin in the background there just sneaking up behind Brett Prebble with the cup. What was going through your mind then when you actually knew that it had been achieved yesterday?
Well, it was just great to get my hands on it. I've held it and I've helped promote it and done different things, even with the Melbourne Cup. But to hold it and know it's yours, you've earned it, you've won it, that was a whole different ball game. And you realise, you know, a row of emotions go through you, and I've seen people do it and achieve it. And, it was just tremendous. Really don't know how to explain it. It was, I never felt, because I hadn't won one of the so-called big four, that there was a hole in my resume. But it was certainly an honour to win it. And to win the Caulfield Cup was special because all the time and the years that I spent at Caulfield plying my trade, I'd won all the other big races at Caulfield, but I hadn't got the cup. And I'd been placed in it and I'd watched everyone else enjoy it. And it was just great to have that opportunity to do it myself for once.
Likely that the Cox Plate's off the agenda, and yesterday was his main goal, as you had outlined leading into this spring. What does he have to do in the next few days, week or so, to convince you to have a crack at the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, listen, it'll just come down to his general well-being and demeanour. You know, fitness isn't an issue. He'll need very little work over the next 17 days to go to a Melbourne Cup because he's such an athlete. I just need to see him bounce back and have the people that are working around the horse even closer than I to tell me that he is back. I'm not going to go down the path of trying to convince handicappers, but I've got to be honest, that would play a part too, you know. What weight's he going to be asked to carry? It'll be interesting to see what Greg's assessment is. His assessment off the Maccabi, which I thought he was very harsh on him, was proved right. So that'll be interesting of what sort of penalty he does attain for yesterday's win. You know, I'd like to think that he'll give him a chance to go to the Melbourne Cup because it's probably going to be his only ever chance to go to a Melbourne Cup. But first and foremost, and before anything of that's taken into consideration, it'll be the welfare of the horse. You know, I want to have a genuine live hope in the Melbourne Cup more than anyone, but in a short space of time, this horse has been too good to me to just take him to the races for the sake of taking him there. He'll only go to Flemington if he's in tip-top shape, and I believe he can win the race. And I know I've got the support of the ownership group in saying that.
Likely that a penalty, if any, and we're expecting there will be a penalty, be announced, I think, tomorrow by Greg Carpenter. Talking to the team involved, what do you think's a realistic penalty in your assessment?
I really don't know. You know, it's got to be weighed up against the likely opposition, hasn't it? You know, Very Elegant got penalised a half kilo last year and she beat an Epsom Derby winner. What are we going to get penalised for beating a horse that won a trial letting into the Melbourne Caulfield Cup? That's probably got a doubt on him at a mile and a half. You know, and we were probably weighted up to our best at that point in time, and I know one of the conversations I had with Greg was, you know, if they get that pretty steep penalty heading into a Caulfield Cup, it probably lessens the risk of a severe penalty going to a Melbourne Cup. So, yep. You know, he's very good at his job, but we won't crucify the horse, and I'm confident that he won't. He'll give us a chance to take the horse there to win it if the horse is well enough, I'm hopeful of.
Wasn't the end of the day for you, Oxley Road. Very good winning the last. What did you make of that performance?
Yeah, that was super, wasn't it? He's freshened up. He's a boy becoming a man. He's got unbelievable talent, that colt. He's a very, very talented sprinter, and to get that Group 2 on his resume was very important. And we sort of targeted that race sort of 6 or 7 weeks ago. We were always only going to have that light spring, sort of 3 or 4 runs. So that was his third run in, and, it was tremendous to get the job done. The manner in which he'd done it, he found sort of fast horses around him. He was able to sit on their backside and took the gap in the straight between the two leaders and was really convincing through the line. And, where do I go now? I was thinking, you know, we might have went to one of the lesser sprints at Flemington do we have a throw at the stumps in the Dali on final day? But once again, we need to see him bounce through it. He seems quite bright and alert this morning, so there's a chance we'll see him again in the spring, but I think he's going to be a cracking sort of Lightning Stakes, Oakley Plate type horse in the autumn as a more mature horse and probably lining up for his 7th or 8th run, not his 5th or 6th or whatever it was yesterday. So, and a big shout out to Stephen Gray. He's part owner and up in Singapore. Stephen trained the winner of the QE2 Cup there last night, so he's had a big day. I think it's domestic Group 1 and owned a Group 2 winner at Caulfield for the Gray family from New Zealand, so I'm sure they've had a big night up there as well.
Significant day for the ownership group involved in Incentivise yesterday too. Such an overlap with Incentivise and Sir Dragonette, and unfortunately losing Sir Dragonette in a track incident at the Valley. And I know Kieran Maher's a terrific mate of yours, just highlighting the highs and lows of racing at very extreme levels in one day, Pete.
Oh, unbelievable. You know, talking to Ozzie and Bray yesterday morning, you know, you could feel they were really down and out, the boys. Like, it's an unbelievably testing industry. You've got to have a lot of resolve in this caper. It's only one short step from the penthouse to the shit house in this caper, and the boys went from both houses yesterday. So, you know, it was, I sent them all a message yesterday, and I commiserated with Kieran and Dave on a text message last night on the loss of the horse. And I don't think people realise how attached not only the ownership group and the trainer, but the staff and that look after and work with these horses. And I would struggle to tell you what colour Sir Dragon Day was, but I just know through my own staff and people around me how attached people become to these horses, and they feel it like a loss of the family. So it was very sad for the boys, but I was glad I was able to put a little bit of a smile on their face later in the day.
Before we let you go, how did Lightsaber come through that brave run in the guineas?
He was good. He was good. He's at home at my farm having a break. He's having a freshen up. I thought, you know, probably the three best colts in the land, three Group 1 winners, finished in front of him in that race. The temptation was to maybe even go to the Bondi in Sydney or the Carbine Club or freshen for Coolmore, but I'm going to target the Aura and the Futurity with him in the autumn. I reckon that 7 furlongs Caulfield, he loves that track, he loves that trip, he loves firm decks. So he's going to be aimed towards that. So he'll probably come back, hopefully, maybe Australia Stakes and into those two races. It's sort of well-worn path that I've had a lot of success with over the years, and I think he's deserved of a Group 1. He's not far off them. The mile probably just found him out. He presented as the winner, didn't see it quite out, and three Group 1 colts beat him. So we want to try and get one on his mantelpiece to join those, and hopefully we'll have a crack at that in the autumn.
Not at the same level, but Shepherd and Wright and Rose in the last couple of races at Horsham today. Any expectation there?
Yeah, I think Shep's just about, he's cleaned up in the coat and he's really come on. We took him somewhere up there the other day. I can't even remember which one of the tracks it was, Matoa maybe. And he blew out second up on heavy ground over 10 furlongs, so he can improve. And Wright and Rose, he's a pretty special horse, I think. He's 3 for 3. He's a pretty good horse. He's drawn sticky, but he's pretty good. You'll see him in a good race not too far away. So I think he'll take a fair bit of beating this afternoon.
Pete, in history, people talk about Caulfield Cup wins of Northerly, Might and Power. I think Incentivise put himself in that bracket yesterday, hopefully endearing himself to a number of young racing fans, and certainly the rusted on racing fans still got chills watching that performance yesterday. Credit to yourself, Catherine Coleman, Jeff O'Connor and all the team involved. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Warren, and let's hope we can do it again in a couple of weeks, but if not, he's done us proud thus far.
Gee, we're hoping we can. Let's hope the next few days. And Greg Carpenter are good to the team involved with Incentivise. Great to chat with Peter Moody this morning. It's 8:15. Joe McKinnon talking horses after this.